but I just wanted to spend this time talking about bills that we have discussed. Many of these were introduced during 2020. Some of those include additional issues that have come up since that time. They're grouped by themes from the 33 bills that were introduced by this subcommittee this session. And they've been grouped now, and they're based on what I think at least are policy needs, by those that had bipartisan support, those that had minimal fiscal impact on the general fund, and on general significance to the people of this state. These are the titles of the eight bills. I'm going to just walk through each one of those very briefly, just give you some highlights, and then hopefully have a discussion. But if you have any questions as we move through these, please let me know. This is the first one. It is Water for the Future. I'm going to have to try to change my screen here so I can read this. Let me redirect here a little bit. Okay, the first one is titled Water for the Future. This is a water quantity issue. It has four sections to the bill. The first one is about policy on sustainability, the sustainability of Minnesota's groundwater and surface water. It's really something that's in response, if you recall, to the water train controversy and issue that happened last year, where there was a group who were interested in appropriating water and shipping it out of state. There was a lot of press involved in that. I don't think that our policy in the state covers that sufficiently. The second one is deals with policy on groundwater recharge, where that's important. There is, as I think you know, a report that is released or about to be released by the Freshwater Society and the university, which looks at areas where recharge may be feasible and warranted. However, we need policy to address that issue and to allow it where it makes sense. The third bullet and section of the bill is a water appropriation change, dealing with allocation change for golf courses that meet certain criteria for water conservation and water improvement. The final one in Bill 1 is a pilot plan to ensure safe and sustainable drinking water. It's really an effort for the next step in the Groundwater Atlas program. And this would be just to develop a plan for a pilot for one of the areas where the Groundwater Atlas program has been done, to try to look at groundwater sustainability, groundwater needs, and the groundwater bank account in those areas. So it would be a next step in that process of the county atlases. Bill 2 is shown here. It deals with water quality protection. The first one deals with reducing chlorides, with establishing use reductions for chlorides, and planning and some funding to begin the implementation of the MPCA's chloride management plan. Second section of the bill is about limiting liability for certified applicators of salt and chloride. The third would be a bill that would in the future ban the sale of water softeners that overuse salt. The next section of the bill involves simplifying, increasing efficiencies in the processes to adopt and amend water quality standards. We've talked about this before as it relates to specific conductants, in particular, and chloride. I'm trying to track this one down. There is a process now where the MPCA is modifying the rules. Those changes that they're making may address the concerns that this committee had. And I need to I need to connect with the PCA authors of that to understand that and for you to understand that. The final section of that bill would be to encourage pilot pollutant trading, would provide policy to allow third-party broker system. Third bill shown here, it involves incentives for water quality and agricultural improvement. The first part of that would be a plan for developing a soil health action plan for the entire state of Minnesota through the university. Second part of the bill, the second section, is about precision agriculture. Again, here it would be involved a plan for research and outreach to increase precision ag throughout the state. And the third one is a plan for transferring monies from the general fund to the commissioners of agriculture for the environmental revolving loan account. This part of the bill may not be feasible this year, but something that we could certainly discuss. Bill 4 is about safe drinking water. The first section involves emerging contaminant monitoring, a plan for monitoring emerging contaminants and to monitor unregulated compounds in sources of drinking water. The second one involves forever chemicals and food waste and establishing policy that would not allow for the acceptance of certain compostable products that contain PFAS in a recycling stream. And the third topic is the future of the university's future of drinking water report recommends a statute for private well testing during the transfer or listing of properties. This would protect buyers and sellers. I know that this committee does not have consensus on this issue. I think one thing to consider here would be an amendment which would require disclosure of whether there has been a test, a chemical test of the water done in recent years prior to a sale. That would allow the purchaser to know if that's been done. It would allow them to require a test if they were needed and would protect the seller from any concerns later on. The fifth one is about improving wastewater treatment. And the first part of that is about flushable wipes. It's simply a labeling requirement that would require that flushable wipes not be labeled as flushable unless they meet a certain specific definition. The second section of the bill is about determining the threats of emerging contaminants. It's important to prioritize and manage those emerging contaminants so that we can make sound decisions about wastewater treatment and treatment of waters from the source to the tap. Sixth bill is about water retention. It would involve the preparation of a plan to enhance efforts to keep water on the land. And the second part of that is a plan for a program to address stormwater retention and infiltration, primarily in urban areas. The seventh bill contains five sections. The first would reestablish the Advisory Council on Water Supply Systems and Wastewater Treatment, something that sunsetted. It was quite effective, as I understand, and it would reestablish that. The second would be a long-term plan to phase out some of the clean water funding as a source of funding for SWCDs. The third would be a program to evaluate models that are used for assessing best management practices so that they would be used commonly across groups within the state. The fourth would be a section to reestablish the Legislative Water Commission. And the fifth would be improved governance. The University and Health Department's report on drinking water suggests that a coordinating entity for drinking water, an interagency entity, is needed. This could be charged to one of the existing interagency groups and be led by the MDH. It would require a policy change to charge the team the existing team with that responsibility. And the eighth and final bill is one that would create a buffer credit and would create compensation for ag buffers involved in riparian, and would involve a riparian buffer credit for those who have riparian buffer lands on their property. And this will be a tax bill. So that's a quick walkthrough of the eight bills. At this point, I would open it up for any questions or discussion you might have.
Jim, did you send us a copy of this PowerPoint?
You don't have a copy of the PowerPoint. It's on the page for the meeting. I did send you all the individual bills.
Okay.
And the expansions of the individual bills. You should have all that in several emails from me, but the bill language, the bills have been drafted, and you do have the bill language as it now exists for each one of these. So there would be eight of them.
Thank you.
What I did send you, though, was this morning was, in an email, was my best understanding of the members' support for each of these bills in the past. So listed in that email are your names, where I think they fit with support that was provided as these bills were introduced last session. So that's one of the things that I really need some feedback from you about. Mm-hmm. And that was today.
Okay, members, any questions?
Yeah, I have a question for Jim, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
Thank you. So, Mr. Stark, back in Bill Number 1, in the fourth of those bills, developing a pilot plan to ensure safe and sustainable drinking water, there was this just a line on constructing a flow model and determining a water budget for aquifers from that was eliminated, or it just had a line through it. I was just wondering the background and why that was, looks like it's being removed. Wondering the background on that, if you know anything about that.
Sure, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
And Representative Lippert, thanks for the question. It was removed simply because the scope for that section has been changed, and not that that model wouldn't be important or be conducted. I think it's very important, but I think given the situation that our budget's in, that would be something that would be planned this year, but not conducted simply because of the scope and cost. So it's okay. It's
thank pushed. You. That's helpful.
It's pushed down the road. But it would be an integral part of that effort.
Anyone else?
Chair Weber,
yes.
Just a quick question for Mr. Stark. I think what you're asking us is, are we willing to author the bills that you placed our name by? And in my case, I am. So if that's what you were looking for.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Poston, that's correct. In the email today, I have the bills listed. Then for the senators and the representative, I have a first name, which to the best of my knowledge would be the person who has indicated they would be the first author on those. And those in parentheses are people who would also sign on to the bills. So that's really what I'm asking, if you would be to continue to be willing to do that. If that's the case, I'll get these jacketed. But I really don't want to overstep your support for any of these.
The one thing I would mention, members, is that, you know, there is a combination of bills into some of these. And so there may be a bill that you signed on to, others that you did not. And so you just do want to double check to make sure you're comfortable with most of the aspects of the combined bill. At that point.
And Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair and members, we could based on feedback like that, we could adjust, amend, or, sure, or change some of those bills.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So is it kind of, are we on a path where we would be introducing these bills as a group? I mean, grouping them into one bill for each of these areas? Is that kind of what we are, as a group, endorsing at this point?
I believe the indication has been that we would take those 30, 33 bills and have a total of 8 at this point. Is that correct, Mr. Stark?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Representative Torkelson, that's correct. There would be 8, and that's really at the advice of the nonpartisan staff in reducing but keeping common themes within those 8 bills.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I might follow up.
Yes, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think that's probably smart. You know, some of the 33 may fall off of the train, so to speak, along the way, but focusing on 8 instead of 33 certainly makes a lot of sense to me. And I think you've done a nice job of grouping them together appropriately. So my comment would be, yes, I think we should move ahead with this approach.
Okay, Senator Dreheim, you had your hand raised.
Thanks, Chair. Representative Torkelson covered most of what I wanted to talk about. But, you know, I know, at least in the Senate, we have, been talked to about limiting the number of bills that we carry. So I think this is a good idea to reduce the total number of bills to help out the nonpartisan staff.
Very good. Any other comments, members?
Mr. Chair, if I could.
Yes, Mr. Stark.
Mr. Chair and Representative Torkelson, to your point about the 33, actually, those have been reduced by about half now, simply based on those bills which would have had big impacts on the general fund or didn't have bipartisan support as they were introduced. So there's less than 33 included in these 8.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Stark. And I knew that, but I kind of misrepresented your work. Thank you for that portion of your work, by the way. I think it's very helpful.
With that, does any member that's on see any issue with including their name with any of the bills that Mr. Stark has outlined for us? I think there's only one issue that I see, that would be bills 7 and 8. There's a total of 6 names listed for each one, and we can only have 5, so in the Senate. So and if you want to, bill number 7, you can take my name off of that one as Mr. Stark, and that would bring that number down to the correct place. And probably you could go ahead and take it off for number 8-2. I now chair the Property Tax Subcommittee, and so that bill will come before us anyway. So,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's good to know.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Torkelson.
Somewhat related, but not directly related. I assume that we're going to be reforming after the new session starts. Is there any thought been given to how quickly we might get that process taken care of?
Mr. Stark, have you visited with anyone from the LCC?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
And members, yeah, thank you for the question, Representative Torkelson. As I think you all know, this subcommittee sunsets on New Year's Eve. It won't function after that for some time. I have discussed this with the executive director of the LCC, Michelle Weber, and we've talked about this. She has talked with the speaker and I think with the president of the Senate about this. And it's on, as I understand, it's on the agenda for their first meeting, which has not been scheduled yet, but should be mid-January. So that is the status that I understand that will be on the agenda to be discussed at that point.
So, Mr. Stark, are you extremely pleased then that the president signed the unemployment funding bill?
Mr. Chair, remember, I hadn't thought about that, but I guess I am pleased with that. Thank you.
At this point, is there a motion to... I think we'd leave it fairly loose. If someone saw something in one of these bills that they didn't want their name included, we would always give you the option to take it off. But at this point, is there a motion to have Mr. Stark send these bills to be drafted and on for introduction as they are currently listed?
Chair Weber, I would make that motion.
Moved by Representative Poston. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Senator Eaton. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Mr. Aye. Chair, did you officially convene us once we reached the quorum state?
I did not announce the quorum, excuse me. We did achieve a quorum approximately a quarter after three, so. And with that, the motion has passed. Anything else that you need from us today, Mr. Stark?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
And members, I have a note here from Director Weber who wants you to know that I won't have to file immediately for unemployment as the position continues as part of the LCC staff for a while.
Okay.
And other than that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any member have anything they wish to bring up? If there isn't, we will wish you all a happy new year. I hope you had a great Christmas. And we will stand adjourned. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for your attention.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thanks all.
You bet.